introduce this topic, especially for some of our newer people. So if there's somebody who's not here today, won't you go ahead and find that YouTube video and share it with them, especially maybe some of our newer saints who may not know what fasting is, may not have been part of an extended fast. Send this lesson to them so that they could understand and maybe go into this fast with a little bit more of an understanding of what it is, how to fast, why we fast, right, and what a fast is. So I'm going to be teaching tonight on this topic, God's chosen fast. God's chosen fast. And if you know Scripture, you know this comes from Isaiah chapter 58. I'm going to read just a few verses here, just the offset. This is really going to be kind of a verse-by-verse study, but I'd like to read it all at the beginning so we can get the general feel of it, and then we'll go back and break it apart in pieces. So Isaiah 58 and verse 1, it says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God." That doesn't sound too bad. Hallelujah. He continues in verse 3. And Brother Aaron, I'm going to depend on you now because I didn't put all of these in just one spot in my notes. But it says, "Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not?" Why are you not aware of our fasting? "Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? How come this fast is not effective? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors." Don't worry, we're going to break all of this down in this lesson. "Behold, ye fast for strife and debate." Now, that's probably not the right reasons to fast. "And you fast to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day." So he's correcting their fast and telling them, you're not fasting the right way. He says, "To make your voice to be heard on high," that is the error of their fast, one of the errors of their fast that we're going to discuss today. Verse 5. "Is it such a fast that I have chosen," he says, "a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord?" He asks again. He knows the answer, but he's asking why they're doing this. Verse 6, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen?" Now he's going to explain what it is. "This is the fast. You'll know it because these are the results: to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke." Hallelujah. That's what a fast looks like. Verse 7, "Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou make the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh?" Wouldn't this be the true essence of a fast? And then finally, verse 8, "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm excited. I'm thankful that I get an opportunity to fast. Hallelujah. because those are the results right there of fasting. Light breaking forth as the morning, health springing forth speedily, righteousness going before us, and the glory of the Lord following behind us. Praise God. How about we clap our hands to the Lord? Let's thank the Lord today. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We love you. Bless this lesson, Lord. Help us to understand fasting and all that it is and all that it means. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody shout amen. So let's go to the beginning, Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1. I would love to get some help today reading this. Anybody like to read Isaiah 58 and verse 1? And again, I'll have the primary readers. Go ahead, buddy. All right, this is God speaking to Isaiah, and he's telling him in a rather dramatic fashion, something is up, right? He's communicating to Isaiah, this is the time, this is the moment. You got to lift up your voice. We got to put an end to their transgression. Isaiah is being called on to expose some great evil within the camp of Israel. That's what he's doing. He needs to expose this great sin and transgression. He says, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show it to them. Cry aloud. Now, these are a lot of statements where he's just showing him how important it is that he needs to do this. This must be some great evil, some grievous sin, right, that he needs to address. Well, what is it exactly? What is this great evil, this great sin that God's calling on Isaiah to expose? Verse 2, why don't you somebody go ahead and read for me Isaiah 58 and verse 2. Somebody who hasn't read yet. And it is on the screen, and I'd encourage you actually today to read from the screen because we're going to read different parts in this. Well, I thought he was here to expose their sin. He says, this is the sin I need you to expose. They seek me daily. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound like sin to me. They delight to know my ways. This is the evil that they're doing? As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. That sounds like a holy people. Why in the world, what could Isaiah need to expose in a people that God would describe in this manner? They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Right? This sounds like a great group of people I'd like to be a part of. Hallelujah. So what is the great evil that the people are performing in the eyes of God? Now today, this sermon and this lesson is here not to expose great evil in the sense that maybe we are thinking of, because we could be doing everything we're supposed to be doing and still not be doing it right. The sin is not in the what. Everybody say, the sin is not in the what. The sin is not in the what. You can be doing the what right, but still be wrong in how you're doing it. What are you doing? Just going to church. How dare you? I mean, that's essentially what God's doing here. What are you doing? Oh, I'm just praying. How dare you? What are you doing? Oh, I'm just fasting. Well, how dare you? Again, he's not addressing the what. The transgression is in the how and the why. Oh, praise the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost today. We can accomplish the what of coming to church, but that doesn't mean it's going to be beneficial for us. We can accomplish the what of kneeling down and praying, but that doesn't mean that God's going to be in it. We could be doing the what of lifting our hands in praise, but if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, then you are doing it you're doing it in sin. Praise God. Today, I'm not just here to talk about the what, but the how and the why. Hallelujah. We've got to consider Isaiah's call was not to reveal the what, but rather to reveal the deceitful consecration practices of the Israelites. And today, I want to tell you, if we're not careful as we step into this fast, as we step into a time of consecration, that we too will walk into some deceitful practices and have a deceitful mindset and motivation walking into it. Hallelujah. So today, what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to purge ourselves. Hallelujah. Cleanse our mind of false motivations and come back to the bare bones of what fasting is and how it is effective for those who get the how and the why right. Hallelujah. So these practices of fasting, seeking the Lord, delighting themselves in the glory of God, they seem perfectly fine on its face, but they are false external expressions of piety. And what that means is that they are hypocritical. They are meant to look one way, but in actuality, it's something different. It's meant to look like we are great Christians, that we are consecrating ourselves, that we're doing all of the right things, but in actuality, our heart isn't in it. At home, we're not being true to it. And it's all just a false facade and a false view. And we're showing a false view of consecration. That is a sin. Hypocrisy is a sin. Everybody say hypocrisy is a sin. I think it's so interesting that God demands all praise, right? And he doesn't want us to pray to any false god or idol. But he absolutely, according to Scripture, refuses to accept any prayer or praise that's filled with apathy, selfishness, or hypocrisy. He refuses it. He says, no, I'm going to plug my ears to it. He's not going to entertain it. Now, please understand me, and as we go along, we'll get into it more. I recognize there's times when I come to church and I really don't feel like coming to church, right? And there's been times where I've gotten down on my hands and knees to pray and I really didn't feel like praying. So understand there is a difference here. It's not you're committed to doing something, so you get yourself there in order to fulfill that commitment. And then once you're there, hallelujah. And I've never gone into a prayer meeting not wanting to go and then stayed with that mentality, right? It doesn't take long in that prayer meeting to before I don't want to leave. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, because that's the power of prayer. But it's hypocritical to pretend like you're praying or you're sincere or you're being true, but you really are not. James chapter 4 and verse 1, it really describes this hypocrisy, and it also tells us God's perspective and how God responds to it. James chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members?" Now, he's talking about fighting and disputing among the church. Verse 2, "Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain." Why are we not getting to where we want to get? "Ye fight and ye war, yet ye have not because ye ask not." You're not sincerely seeking the Lord for these answers. You're doing it by outside measures. But look at verse 3. "Ye ask not," or "you ask rather," so when you actually do finally ask, you receive not. Why would you not receive? Why is God not answering your prayers? Because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. Your motivation is incorrect. Your motivation is wrong. Therefore, God will not honor your consecration. Does that make sense? If our motivation is wrong, God will not honor our consecration. You can fast until you keel over, praise God, of hunger. But if you're doing it all for the wrong reasons, God will not honor it. Today, I don't want to just fast. Again, I'm not excited about fasting. I'm not excited about going without food. I'm excited because I know it's going to bring the glory of God. Hallelujah. And I know the benefits of getting closer with the Lord. That needs to be the motivation today. I remember hearing of a man that, and I've stated this before, but hearing of a man that fasted for 40 days. Look, I've never fasted 40 days. I can admit that. One day, it's on the bucket list. I've never fasted 40 days, but this man fasted 40 days food. And the reason he was fasting was so that God would bring justice to his friend who hurt him and did him wrong. I'm telling you right now, if you go into this fast with that kind of motivation, you're doing it wrong. And you've got to correct that mindset. So what is fasting? Let's kind of back up a little bit. Because even though we are talking about the how and the why, we also want to clarify the what. Isaiah 58 and verse 3, if somebody could read that for me. Listen, fasting without any benefit, that's rough, right? Fasting without any spiritual results or any answers from God, what is the point to it? I can tell you right now, there is no benefit to fasting outside of wanting to see God move. But here they're making the statement. They're saying, "We fasted, but thou seest not. Where are you, God? We fasted. We afflicted our soul." Everybody say, "afflicted our soul." and thou takest no knowledge. You didn't recognize that fast. You didn't take note of that fast. You didn't honor that fast. Why wouldn't you honor a time of consecration that we've given to you? Why wouldn't you allow yourself? Why wouldn't you answer our prayers and do what we are asking you to do? These are great questions. But inside this question, we find the what. What is fasting? Fasting is the affliction of the soul. That's what fasting is. That term, afflicted our soul, expresses what is of moral value in the act of fasting. It's the repression of sensual impulses through abstinence. The repression of sensual impulses through abstinence. Essentially, what you're trying to do is you're trying to convert your cravings. And so you deny what the body desires. Jesus said it in that way in Matthew 16, 24. He said, deny himself. Fasting, like Jesus said, is the denial of self. I am denying my body what it is craving because I want to deny myself. I want to deny that old man, and I want to feed the spiritual man. Paul called it in Romans 8:13, mortifying the deeds of the body. That's what he called it. Mortifying means to kill. I am killing off the deeds of the body. Those desires that this body has, I want to cut them away. And look, you know as well as I do, your body wants a whole lot more than just food. It also wants sin. Right? Your body sometimes can crave lusts of the flesh, things like that. Those things we need to cut away no matter what, but to benefit, to help us to cut away those most serious sins, we cut away the things that are not necessarily sin. We cut away things like food, things like entertainment, things that are appealing to the carnal side of my flesh and not the spiritual side of my flesh. So basically today, you can fast anything as long as it is a denial of something craved by the flesh. If you today struggle with looking at social media sites, Facebook. Well, guess what? That's the exact thing you need to focus on fasting the next 20 days, 21 days. If you are having a hard time staying away from what's going on right now, is it football season? I don't even know. Somebody tell me. Football. All right, thank you. I knew I'd find some carnal saint who could tell me. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. Football season, you can't stay away from the television set watching football. Listen, I hate to tell you, that's exactly the thing you need to be fasting the next 21 days, right? That is the point of it. It's afflicting the soul. If it's not hard, you're not doing it right. Hallelujah. And that's the whole point of this verse, is they were doing easy fasting. Anybody know what easy fasting is? It's when you only fast the things that you don't necessarily care for anyhow. I don't like broccoli. I am fasting broccoli for the next 21 days. That's not afflicting the soul. It may be afflicting your health, but it's not afflicting the soul. If you don't usually eat breakfast, then not eating breakfast is not recognized by God as a fast. Now, again, I'm not here to knock anybody or to, you know, anything like that. But hopefully you understand the point I'm trying to make. I remember one time my father had one of the saints come to him. He was so excited. Now, mind you, this wasn't a brand new saint. This was somebody who was born and raised in the church. Came to my father and said, "Pastor, you wouldn't believe it. I fasted just the other day." He said, "That's fantastic, man. I'm so excited and happy for you." He said, "You know, how'd you do it? What'd you do?" He said, "I fasted between breakfast and lunch." So, well, how many meals do you eat between breakfast and lunch? The point is, yeah, it's easy to fast when you don't usually eat. What you have to do is find a time when you would normally eat. That is the time to focus on fasting. What we are doing is curving our appetite. You go without so that you can curve the appetite of what you're doing. Fasting is not meant to be a momentary thing. Yes, in the moment, it's tough. In the moment, you may even find that it's beneficial and helpful. But if a fast does not change your perspective, if a fast does not curb your appetites, if you come out of a fast and you go right back into all the carnal things you used to do, then the fasting was not effective. Because fasting is meant to curb your appetite. It's meant to change what you desire. Oh, I pray at the end of the 21 days, I'll desire more of the presence of God. I'll desire more of the Word of God. I'll desire more revelation. I'll desire more prayer. I'll desire more praise. I'll desire more church and not just carnal things and things of this flesh. I want to curb that appetite. I want to change what it is that I desire. Praise God. So let's talk about when fasting becomes mechanical. We're about to read what is not the chosen fast. Oh, we've already read what is not the chosen fast. He explains it in a few minutes, but in the laws about fasting in the book of Leviticus and Numbers, it becomes almost a technical expression. That's why some people, they don't believe what I just taught. They believe you have to fast a certain way. When we say we're doing a Daniel's fast, they say, well, that means you absolutely have to eat nothing but vegetables the whole 21 days. Well, absolutely, that's one way of looking at a Daniel's fast. And then there's these different fasts. People say, you have to only fast food. There's no such thing as any other kind of fast. Again, I respectfully disagree. When you do that, you're getting down to this technical expression. It's simply just an act that you do. But it doesn't mean anything, it doesn't change anything, and it doesn't have heart behind it. Now, please understand, technical fast, mechanical fast, doesn't mean it's automatically wrong. But it does mean that you're in danger of not using passion or to really be having effective fast because you're doing it out of your heart. So because their fasting was done mechanically in the book of Isaiah, God did not recognize it. So what I mean by mechanically is it was done out of habit. If you are now, and I've come to a point now, I've been, many of you know, I've been for the last couple months dieting and really watching my weight. And I'm going to tell you this just for the sake of this lesson, not to boost myself or anything like that, but I've been fasting every Wednesday. When I wake up, all the way until the next morning. I don't eat. I have done it now for a couple months. Very, very strict. Well, I noticed last couple weeks, like, well, this is just normal now. I didn't pray any extra. And God started to convict me. And I started realizing that even something like fasting can be just done out of habit now. I don't want that. I want this to be a time of afflicting my soul and submitting myself to Jesus. Fasting becomes mechanical when it's done out of obligation. If you're only fasting because the church is fasting, then it's mechanical. You can't do it that way. You need to talk to God. You need to find your own reasons to fast. Now, joining the church in a fast can absolutely be a reason to fast, but you've still got to be passionate about it and have expectation going into it. You can't go into a fast just not being passionate. You've heard the phrase, God loves a cheerful giver. Well, what about when we're giving of ourselves? Oh, hallelujah. Again, I feel the Holy Ghost today. What about when we're giving of ourselves? What about when we're giving away parts of ourselves? There's some people today who say that money in your wallet's part of yourself. Hallelujah. Sometimes it feels that way. Praise God. But God still says he loves a cheerful giver. Hey, I want to be a cheerful faster. Hallelujah. I want to fast with a smile on my face. I want to fast recognizing the benefits that's coming out of it, not just because somebody else told me to or because the church is doing it. I want to be a cheerful giver of myself. Anybody else want to be a cheerful giver of your flesh and your habits and your desires today? Amen. So, in other words, don't just fast because I told you to fast. I know this right here. This right here, if we're not careful, I'm excited about this. Again, we do this every year. I believe in it. I believe it's effective. We've seen many, many great things happen during this fast. But if we're not careful, this right here can become mechanical. Just following a script, and that's it. That is not what this fast is meant to be, or any fast is meant to be. Hallelujah. Mechanical fasting can be done while still being distracted. This is what I call distracted fasting. Hey, I'm really good at distracted fasting, right? I can fast for long periods of time as long as I'm distracted. But distraction actually removes away the whole point of fasting. So in our verses, in these verses up to now, in verse 3, he's talked about, he's referencing their sayings. He's saying, wherefore, this is what they say. They're saying that you've not heard us. You've taken no knowledge. But then, if we continue on, verse 3, and somebody go ahead and read this for me from the screen. Now he's switching it around. You're asking me why I don't do what you're asking me to do and why your fast is not effective? Behold, this is the reason why. You're fasting, yet you're finding ways to enjoy it through pleasurable means. You're trying to minimize the affliction. The more you minimize the affliction, the less impact the fast has. Does that make sense today? Hallelujah. If you continually try to find ways to skirt the fast, find ways to get around having to consecrate, find ways to get around having to be hungry, then again, all you're doing is trying to find pleasure in the middle of a fast. A fast is not meant to be pleasurable. Again, you don't have to have pleasure to be cheerful, right? But a fast isn't necessarily meant to be pleasurable. What do I mean by that? We're going on a media fast. And I know I'm gonna step on some people's toes, stuff like that. I'm not here just to tell you everything. I'm just telling you how I perceive this. A media fast, you go and you watch documentaries all day instead of pray and read the Bible. To me, you're trying to find a way to do it without doing it. You're just trying to find ways, and I get it. Documentaries can be filled with knowledge and things like that. I'm not here just to condemn it. I'm just simply trying to make that point and recognize, don't try to find a way around not watching stuff. Be careful that you're not just trying to replace this carnal thing with something maybe just a little less pleasurable, but it's not a full-on commitment to the affliction of the soul, which is what fasting is. I've had people, they try to find ways around not eating certain things. Well, what if I do this? Well, what if I do that? And I get that you want to be technical about it. Absolutely. If you have questions on what it means, you know, fruits, vegetables, nuts only, or what it means, no desserts or meats. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. But if you have questions, is this a vegetable? Is this a meat? Is this, you know, all those things, feel free to come and ask us those questions. But at the end of the day, I'm just going to tell you, what do you think it is? Are you asking this question because you're trying to skirt around it? Or is this just because you're trying to be true to what everybody else is doing? And that may very well be it, right? So again, I'm not knocking it. But the question here is the motivation. You continue, and this is something I do, right? He says you exact all your labors. In other words, you just keep doing exactly what you did before. Maybe you cut out a little bit of this or a little bit of that, but you're still doing all of the same things. I fall for a trap when I'm fasting. I try to replace eating or entertainment with work. So my fast day tends to become the most productive day of my life. Hallelujah. Because I'm trying to just replace it with busybody work. That's not what fasting is supposed to be either. Again, that's just distraction. You continue to work. You continue to focus on your own lives rather than consecrating yourself to Jehovah. I don't want to distract myself away from the hunger pains. I want to embrace the hunger pains. I don't want to distract myself away from the boredom. I want to embrace the boredom, and I want to replace those things with prayer and studying, hallelujah, with family time, with being in the presence of God. Fasting must be a time of holy obedience to God. It's not a time, again, for ourselves, to better ourselves. Though, again, I recognize that is going to happen. Fasting is not a time to lose weight. Though, again, that will more than likely happen. I always get excited when time comes. I can fit in my pants again, right, at the end of the fast. But that is an added benefit, but that is not the why. The why is I want to submit myself to God and God's plan for my life. I want to cut out all the carnality, and I want to go deeper in the Spirit and the presence of God. Fasting is a time of prayer and meditation to God. Let's talk about the why of fasting. Isaiah 58 and 4. Somebody who hasn't read yet, if you could start us out here. And again, read this portion. We'll go to the second portion of this verse in a moment. Again, these are false motivations. We've already spoke on this a little bit. But let me reveal something to you that maybe you don't know. Fasting can make you mean. Fasting brings out the beast. I have a very hard time when I'm fasting being kind and considerate. I really do. I when I get home from work or if I'm in the middle of time of fasting, I have to be extra careful around my family because I can put all that hunger pain on them. So I have to be careful. What he's saying here is he's literally talking about the fast that or the issue that fasting will bring these things out. Fasting, it doesn't make you want strife or debate, but it magnifies feelings that already exist within you. It's meant to. If you had an alt with your brother, fasting isn't just going to clear it up. It's going to bring it out. That's what fasting does. If you've got sin, fasting, I pray it will free you of that sin, but before it does, more than likely, it's going to bring it out. I've said this before. My dad's church, they've gone on extended fast. They've had people go to jail during the fast because God brought things out during it. Fasting tends to magnify emotions. You feel a lot angrier than normal, or I go through a point of time of depression when I fast. I really do. There's a period of time when I'm fasting where I tend to start questioning life. I get, what's the term for it? You just start thinking about more than just yourself. I start, questioning life. I start questioning this and questioning that. All of those things, you have to expect it. It's meant to happen that way because it's revealing things about yourself. And listen, once you cut out media and all those foods that you've used as a crutch, it's going to reveal how empty your life really is. Right? Yeah. It's simply just magnifying what is reality. That's what fasting does. We sometimes drown all of it in sugar, and we drown all of it in constant entertainment. Fasting brings it all out and reveals what is hidden underneath the surface. One commentary said about Isaiah 58 and 4, said their fasting increased their self-preference and excited them to fierce controversies or bitter resentments. They learned the wrong lessons. Instead of allowing those things to be revealed and then allowing God to take care of them and them figuring it out, they allowed it to increase their self-preference, exalting themselves and trying to, again, diminish or put down all of the people who were around them. That is the wrong way to fast. Fasting is meant to bring us low. And if it does anything other than bring us low, then we're doing it incorrectly. Next portion of verse 4. If somebody could read this, who has not read yet. Might be just, ooh, we got. On high. Yeah. I wouldn't have corrected you if it wasn't important to correct there. Praise God. Ye shall not fast as you do this day. So he's making this statement once again, laying it out plainly. This is wrong, how you're fasting. Don't do this. Everybody say, don't do this. To make your voice to be heard on high. Again, fasting done wrong magnifies pride and causes us to look down on other people. If you're fasting and it exalts you, makes you feel better than everybody else. Yeah, last week you ate 5 cheeseburgers for dinner. Today you're, you know, down to just broccoli. You know, I know that may make you feel like you're on top of the world. But again, fasting is not meant to do that. You are meant to cut out those feelings. Psalms 35 and 13, this is beautiful. It says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting. That's what fasting is all about. It's all about humbling the soul. Fasting must bring you to submission to God. If you've been struggling to do the will of God in your life, struggling to deny sin, this fast is going to help you. If you've been struggling to adhere to the call of God that's on your life and to fulfill the mission that God has called you to, I believe this fast is going to bring you into submission and help you to fulfill the thing that God has called you to do. In Jesus' name. The wrong way to fast. God will not bless fasting that is mechanical, pleasurable, laborious, or prideful. He will not do it. Now let's hear from God. Isaiah 58 and 5. Aaron, I think you're it, man. You're the last one. Now he is restating the question asked in verse 3. Verse 3, the people asked God why he wasn't listening, even though they were afflicting their soul, why he wasn't doing it. They said, wherefore have we afflicted our soul and thou took no knowledge? Well, in verse 5, it's meant to reflect that original question. And God is essentially saying, is this really the way to afflict your soul? He is questioning their fasting tactics. He's questioning their motivation on how they are fasting. And by asking this question, he is stating, this is not the fast that I have chosen. Let's go to the next portion, verse 5. Anybody can read now. Anybody who'd like to. Go ahead, William. Perfect. God is speaking, in regards to their outward gestures and posturing. They were showing signs of penitence, but their heart was not true. They were acting the part, but they were not genuine in fasting. Jesus, of course, addressed this in Matthew 6 and 16. He says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. Don't walk around looking like Mr. Mopey, right? Oh, I'm having such a hard time. Don't do that. says, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. They want people to question them. Again, it is an effect of trying to exalt their own position by making them look holier and godlier than the other people. He says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. If that's what you're seeking is attention, you'll get it that way. And that's the only thing you'll get from fasting is attention. I don't want your attention. I want God's attention. I don't want your eyes on me. I want His eyes on me. Hallelujah. So Jesus clarifies, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, he shall reward thee openly. Hallelujah. We need secret fasting. Everybody say secret fasting. Hallelujah. That means nobody else got to know. Nobody needs to know the details. Nobody needs to know how hard it's been or how much you're struggling. And listen, I'm the first to do this. I'll admit it. I'm the first to just because I'm open and I talk about everything and I always talk about what's going on and all that. So I'll talk to people about it. Hallelujah. But God's convicted me. He's shown me this is not His plan. We got to do it in secret. Hallelujah. And if we fast in secret, He's going to reward us openly. Trust in that reward. Trust in it. Hallelujah. Verse 5, let's read the rest of this verse. Go ahead, somebody who actually you've read already, that's okay. It says, what you're calling a fast isn't what God considers a fast. God will not honor or accept hypocritical fasting. So listen, I forbid you, brothers and sisters, to pretend like you're fasting when you're not. I'm not saying if you choose not to fast, you need to walk around and announce it to everybody else. I'm not saying that either. I'm saying don't walk around and pretend like you're fasting if you're not. Don't walk around talking about it and all of that. Be sincere. Be secretive. And let God do the work. Now Isaiah begins to talk about what fasting is. And I'm hurrying here. I think we'll get through this a little bit more quickly. Isaiah 58 and 6. It's very simple. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? He is introducing the fast. He's beginning to show them what a fast will bring when done right. He's showing them a fast that is favored by God. That's what the word chosen means. It means to try or select. It also means favored by God. I want a fast that is favored by God. Anybody else want a fast favored by God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The rest of this verse, verse 6. It's not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke. This means to be loosed from a bad or perverse moral character. You say, well, how is he going to loose me from a bad or perverse moral character if I deny myself a steak? It's because when you are afflicting the soul, it affects all of the man. Oh, hallelujah, it gives you the strength. It is an internal strength. If I can go without food, I can go without this sin. If I can deny my flesh the lust and cravings that are innocent, then I can deny my flesh the lust and cravings that are sinful. Oh, Hanabasi, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hear me, brothers and sisters. This will be the fast that you finally break that sin in the name of Jesus. This will be the fast that the bands of wickedness is removed and the heavy burdens have been lifted. If you do it as unto the Lord, I believe you who are oppressed, you will go free. Every yoke will be broken in the name of Jesus when you fast with sincerity and openness to the Lord in secret. Unto God, it shall be done. Everybody say, it shall be done. Hallelujah. To be set free from affliction and injustices caused by wickedness. So not only is he saying that I'm going to release you from that moral perverse or bad moral character, but I'm also going to free you from the afflictions and injustices that that bad or perverse moral character brought upon your life. I'm going to free you, hallelujah, from all of those burdens you've been carrying around. I'm going to set you free, and I'm going to show you what it's like to walk in my glory, to walk in my presence. Hallelujah. Everybody repeat after me. Fasting brings freedom. You say, Pastor, but this is hard. It's like we're having all these rules, all this stuff we can't do. Yeah, I know, but if you'll do it, I promise you, you'll find a new sense of freedom than you've ever felt before, hallelujah, at the end of this thing. Fasting can cause those who have been crushed in pieces, bruised, broken, discouraged, and or oppressed to be set free. That's what that verse means. They will be set free. Look at this. Further benefits, Isaiah 58 and 7. Only two verses left, and we'll go through these quickly. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, and thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. What he's saying is fasting brings you down a couple notches. Fasting gives you sympathy as you recognize hardship, true hardship. Fasting will force you to go out of your way to care for somebody. It'll open your eyes to how blessed you are and how some others may not be as blessed as you are. Fasting will reveal the need that people have in this world. Fasting will show you what it's like to be empty. And listen, that's how people live every day without Jesus. They live empty. They live destitute. That's what fasting will bring. It'll bring a new perspective on the world around you. It'll help you to see things for what they really are. It'll help you to see people not just as weak and whatever, but you'll be able to feel their actual pain. That's what he's saying. Oh, God, help me in this fast that I'll also feel, Lord, what they feel. Give me sympathy, Lord God, for my brothers and sisters. Give me sensitivity to the needs of the people in this world. Because if I can find that in fasting, then I know this next portion will absolutely come true. Isaiah 58 and 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. Listen, you're going to shine brighter than Moses did coming down that mountain. You guys know the story. He was up in that mountain for 40 days, 40 nights fasting. The glory of God came and wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger. The Bible says when he came down from that mountain, his face, it glowed with a bright light. And they could hardly look upon him. That's what happens during fasting. God brings out the good moral character. Maybe not during the fast. During the fast, you're going to struggle with this. But after the fast, you'll find pleasure, or rather peace and joy, goodness, kindness. You'll find these things again. And the Lord will make you shine bright like the morning. Verse 8, fasting is going to give thine health. It'll spring forth speedily. You're not going to walk out of this fast saying, oh man, I feel worse than I did before it. You'll walk out and you'll feel thy healing. You'll feel your strength. God's going to bless you physically, mentally, and emotionally. If you believe that, say amen. Verse 8, next portion. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. Not only is he going to bless you physically, mentally, and emotionally, but you're going to find a spiritual health like you've never found before. You're going to find strength to stay righteous and deny the lusts of the flesh, and you'll find a position of righteousness, and it's going to go before you. And finally, verse 8, the true reason, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. What does that mean? It's actually has a connotation of the story in the book of Exodus. The Bible says in Exodus 14 and 19 that the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their faces and stood behind them. What he's saying is, you're going to come out of this fast and God's going to back you up. Oh, hallelujah. How about we stand to our feet right now? He's saying, you're going to come out of this fast and God's going to back you up. The glory of the Lord's going to be coming behind you. The glory of the Lord's going to be your reward. Praise God. You're going to lay your hands on people. And guess what? God's going to back you up. You're going to speak to the demons. And God's going to back you up. They're going to have to flee. You're going to speak to the dead. God's going to back you up. And the dead shall rise again. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want God to back me up. Mark 16, 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. I'm telling you, you're going to come out of this fast with an anointing you've never felt before. You're going to come out of this fast with a favor that says the Lord is with me. The Lord is using me. The Lord has called me. The Lord is with me. Hallelujah. The Lord's going to use you to do great things. In his name, you're going to cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt you. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Why? Because the glory of the Lord is going to back you up. Your preaching's going to become even more anointed and filled with the favor of God. Hallelujah. Your prayers are going to be filled with the favor of God. Your praise is going to introduce the presence of God like never before. Your singing, it's going to be supported anointed by the glory of God. Oh, that's what he's saying today. I don't know about you, but I'm excited for this fast. I'm not excited about going without food, but I'm excited to be with Jesus and what the Lord's going to do. Oh, praise God. I'm wondering today if we could come down to this altar for a couple minutes and begin to seek the face of God and say, God, I'm going to fast. I'm committing myself.